Tonight we're going to start. We're going to talk about Abraham. This is going to be the first lesson of Abraham. There will be a number of lessons of Abraham, just like there was with Noah. As we walk through the life of Noah, we're going to walk through the life of Abraham. And really, the hardest part of this is kind of keeping a track, because when you get going down one path in the life of Abraham, it's very easy to head down a bunch of what you'd call rabbit trails. There's just so many things that branch off. There's so many places where it goes. And so I'm going to start here at the initial calling of Abraham. And I've entitled this, "He Answered the Call." But I want you to see that the answering of the call here may not quite be as significant or rock solid as we think. When we hear the verse and we hear the passages, and Abraham is the father of the faithful, and you know, he's mentioned in the heroes of faith, he is the start of it all, and I don't want to at all discredit him. I just hope to help us to understand that Abraham's a lot more like us than we realize. It's pretty amazing as I looked at this story. Some of the things kind of that came to me as I was reading and studying. If you would go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10. I'm going to kind of jump off here and then we'll just kind of start heading through. And somewhere around 11 or 12 o'clock tonight, I'll be done and we can go home. Hebrews 11 verse 10, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." I love that passage. Someday I'm going to learn to preach that passage in the right way. I just love the way that sounds. He looked for a city. He was searching for a city, but not just any city. He wanted the right city. He wanted a city whose builder and maker is God, not his own. It was what God made. And I'm going to jump there and kind of just hang on to that verse, because I think it might tie in on why it might have been written in that manner. Okay, Genesis chapter 11 and verse 28. "And Haran died before his father Terah." Haran was the brother of Abraham. "He died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity, in the Ur of Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, and the daughter of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren, she had no child. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from the Ur of Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan." Now, I want you to get that. To me, this is kind of cool. "And they came unto Haran and dwelt there, and Terah, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran." Now, when we read this passage, and from its initial glance through, and if you just read it as it is, a lot of people, and I've heard this, and I don't know that I've ever, I think I've always heard it this way, that Abraham, you know, was in Haran, then God called Abraham out of Haran to the land of Canaan. But I want to show you what the Bible actually says took place. What we see here in this story is that Terah was, as we know, the father of Abraham. You know, we went through that whole long list, and Abraham was born there in the Ur of Chaldees, and they lived in the Ur of Chaldees. And one day, Terah said, "Let's go," right? That's the way we read it. Terah said, "Let's go, and let's go to Haran." Let's leave this Ur of Chaldees and let's go to Haran. I've often thought of that and thought that was rather suspicious as to why would Terah all of a sudden decide, I want to leave the Ur of the Chaldees and I want to go to another city called Haran. You have to understand, he was obviously, he had been there for some time. There's all kinds of stories about him, but he was probably at this time a great man of the city. He was a elder of the city. He probably had a lot of influence in and around the Ur of Chaldees. He was a man of wealth. No doubt he had his customers and all of those things that he dealt in. And he lived in the great city of Ur. Now you have to understand what Ur was. This was a large and important and wealthy city at the mouth of the Euphrates River. It is actually in what is known today as Iraq. Okay, that is where he was. It was then called Sumeria. It might have even been, some people want to even suggest, that this city of Ur was one of the largest, if not the largest city of its time. It was one of the largest cities in the world at its time. Now that was way back when civilizations were getting started. Now it was dominated by a huge temple to the moon god. Okay, the name was Nannar. That was the moon god. I also read that the other name, it went by two names. There's a name Sin. Where you read in the Bible, you read the wilderness of sin, you read, and I'm not talking about sin as in sins we commit. In another language, sin would be this moon god as well, depending on what language it was written in. The temple was at the center of the life of this city. Now, I want you to think about this. Here we are in the Ur of Chaldees, this big, huge city, and what's right in the middle of the city? A temple. A temple to the moon god. It was a temple to, now think about this. This was where Terah lived. These people who were descendants from Noah, who were supposed to be the servants of God and the sons of God. Now we find here in this time that this was a city full of wickedness. I read a lot of things as I was looking at this. The temple, it was there at the center. It was a mark. There was a market there. There was a big library or some sort of store there with whatever they had. The land of Ur of the Chaldees was actually a part, and I thought this is interesting. It is a part of the land of Shinar. Now, that might not mean anything at this moment until I get rolling here. Okay? It was a part of the land of Shinar. This is important because where we see the Bible's first history of civilizations. Where do we find it? From the study of world history, you know that this was one of the oldest civilizations in the world. When I was doing some history with Joey a while back, they talk about Mesopotamia. Everyone's ever heard of Mesopotamia? Okay, we are in the same region. This is that land of Shinar. The Bible records it like this in Genesis chapter 10, verse 8. It says, "And Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calna, in the land of Shinar." I want you to notice that. Babel was in Shinar. It was in this area of Mesopotamia, okay? We also understand that it was here that they began to erect the Tower of Babel. They erected it in Shinar, okay? The Bible says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar." Remember, Abraham, the land of Ur, was still in this area of the land of Shinar. Now think about this. I'm going to tie this up here in a second. Okay, we also know that at Babel, that God confounded their language, right? What was supposed to take place at Babel? They were supposed to be scattered, right, throughout the world, right? Now, I want you to notice what takes place. So they left Babel. And as I studied this, I found out something. Ur is only about 140 miles from Babel. They didn't go very far. We think of them leaving and going and scattering and spreading. Here, these descendants of Shem went no farther than 140 miles from Babel. I want you, we're going to see that in relation to where God wanted them. That's where you'll see the big difference. Yeah, it was. It would have been a decent, it would have been a few days' journey. I mean, that's 100, and, you know, we do that in, you know, we'll do that in a few hours. It might take them, you know, at most a week, 2 weeks. I mean, you're not talking years worth of journeys. You're talking, you know, a relatively short amount in comparison to where we're going. Watch this. This is amazing. Okay, they traveled 140 miles. It really is not that far initially. Now, according to tradition, and we know this is tradition, but most people really do accept this. I haven't heard anybody who doesn't. And it's not recorded in the Bible, but Terah was heavily involved in the idol business. He was heavily involved in making of idols, which would make sense if he's sitting there in the Ur Chaldees. They have their temple in the city. They have, you know, they're right there. Why not? Right? Many people believe that he actually sold them. He was a seller of idols. And he was probably quite a wealthy and important citizen of his time, of his day. And for some reason, this is where it goes. For some reason, he suddenly gets up and says, "We're leaving." Leaving the security, leaving the wealth, what he had known. And he sets out with his family for the land of Canaan. They were on their way to Canaan. You've got to get that. Terah was on his way, not Abraham. Terah was on his way to Canaan. Now, he was taking Abraham with them, but I want to show you something. Haran wasn't quite as influential, as quite as big as Ur was. It wouldn't, you know, he'd have been going into a new place, a different place. He wouldn't have been as well known. He wouldn't have had all of the status that he had at Ur. Why would he decide to leave behind all that he knew and head to a land he didn't know about? Now, I have read all kinds of speculation as to why he left. I've read all kinds of stuff. I've heard that it was from Abraham. You know, he broke some statues or something, and so he left to hide them. You know, there's all kinds of stories out there. I've heard that it was because he didn't want to worship their gods anymore, so he had to leave. But the answer to this question as to why he left is actually found in no other book than the book of Acts. Isn't that amazing? It's found in the book of Acts. In the message that Stephen preached to the Sanhedrin before he was stoned to death. Now, I just think it's amazing how Luke, the historian, helps us tie together pieces of Old Testament history. We find that with Moses. I found that with so many things that Luke has this way of tying back to some of the Old Testament stories and bringing insight into some of them. Watch Acts chapter 7, verse 2. "And he said, men and brethren and fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham." I want you to get that, not Terah, Abraham. when he was in Mesopotamia, watch, before he dwelt in Haran. Notice that. God spoke to Abraham before he went to Haran. Get that. Notice the word before. The question is, where was he before Haran? The answer we already have, Ur of Chaldees. He was in the Ur of Chaldees. Watch, here's the calling. And said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I shall show thee. And watch his response. Then came he out of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. What we see here is it wasn't Terah who led them out. It was Abraham who led them out. Abraham received the call from God. You've got to get this. I want to tie this together. He says, you get out of your country, you get from your kindred, and you go to a land that I will show you. I'm going to take you somewhere. I see too many eyes in this direction, and I don't blame you. Can we do that on the parking lot? Thank you. Yeah, they'll come right there on the other side. I just kept seeing. I kept seeing out of the corner of my eye, and I seen, you know, you guys seeing out of the corner. He's doing something out there. Notice this. It was Abraham who led them out of the Ur of Chaldees and led them to Haran. So Abraham, what? Well, we're going to get there. We'll get there. So Abraham receives this calling first in Ur. And it was this calling that prompted him to leave Ur. But I don't know that I've ever heard anyone talk about this. Abraham is so much like us, more than we realize. Because what we find, what was his calling? What was it to do? And he said unto him, get thee out of thy country, right? And from thy kindred, that's family, and come into the land which I shall show you. And all of us jump to Lot because he took Lot. But you've got to see this. The first time he left from Ur, he left with his entire family. He did what God said to a part. He said, I'm going to leave the Ur of Chaldees. But his family, his entire family went with him. He left Ur. He headed to Canaan, but took his entire family with him. It's amazing to me, though, that something happened along the way. This is so true. I've seen this happen. I've been a part of this happening. Something happens along the way. And they decided that Haran was far enough. God said, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, unto a land that I'm going to show you. And so he packs up from Ur, makes it to Haran, and says, that's enough. And he also went with his entire family. What was it about Haran that enticed them to stay? I'm sure this was supposed to be a temporary stop along the way. But something happened that enticed them to stay. Maybe it was the distance they would have to travel. It appears from everything that I studied that the distance from the Ur of Chaldees to Canaan land was 1,000 miles. They had already traveled. Think about this. They were in Babel, right? The family traveled from Babel 140 miles to Ur. And from Ur to Canaan was another 1,000 miles. In other words, from the place where I am to the place God wants me to be is not just a walk in the park. Where I am right now, where I was when I started, is not where I'm supposed to be. The journey's a lot longer. And what we find was the journey from Ur to Haran was 600 miles. God, isn't this far enough? I mean, I've done enough. I mean, I've left that area. But had he done what God told him to do? I mean, now that is a long ride. I don't care. You know, that's a good ride. I mean, for us, it's still not, you know, but that's still a good little ride. Think about that. He went 600 miles, no doubt with a caravan of people, traveling. I don't know how long it would take. You could probably go on and find out how long it would take a caravan to travel in that style and find out how many years it would take to get somewhere like that. But that's no easy task. And, you know, God, don't you think that that would be enough? Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt. Oh, no doubt. This is not it's a journey. It's a journey. Right. No doubt that had a whole lot to do with it. They stayed in that area. I mean, we already saw what had happened to Terah. I mean, we ran through that 292 years from the flood to Abraham, right? And it didn't take long until God had to call a man out. Why? Because of what had taken place. They now had built a temple in the middle of the city that was to a moon god. And God calls him, says, I'm going to take you to a place that I want you to go to. That's why I guess that verse kind of struck at me, that the Bible says that Abraham searched for a city. He looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. He said, I've already been to Ur of Chaldees. I've already seen what they have. I don't need a city built by man. I want what God has. It had to have been passed. If you look, Abraham, we saw the time. That's why I wanted to show you the timeline. Abraham would have been alive while Shem was alive. Okay? Noah's son. So there's no doubt that it would have been passed. It would have been taught. It would have been told to him. I don't know how much influence the rest of the world had on around him. What would have caused him to say, God picks him out of that group. But I want you to get this. Huh? He did. So here it is. He receives his calling at Ur. He travels 600 miles to Haran, and they stop. Is that enough for God? It's a whole lot farther than they traveled before. But I want you to notice the word of God never changed. The word of God said, I want you to leave your father, your mother, your family. I want you to leave your kindred. I want you to leave the city you're in. And I want to take you to a place that I've called you. That calling never changed. And I don't see where God ever spoke to Abram again after the initial call. Watch how this works. He simply required total obedience. And he wasn't going to accept anything less. He calls him in Ur. He doesn't speak to him in Haran. He didn't do it. He didn't answer. He stops at Haran. Haran was a major city in Mesopotamia. It was still in the Mesopotamia region. At the time of Abraham, it was located on a major trade route. And guess what I saw? Guess what they worshipped? The same God that was worshipped in Ur. It would have been an easy place to stop. Pick up business. Let's start trading here. We're on a major trade route. We can still worship the same God. Terah says, let's just camp out right here. And God does not say another word to Abram. Here it is. Watch. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. Watch the word there. The Lord had said. He already told him in Ur. Most people pick it up right there, like God spoke to him and he left with Lot. No, God spoke to him in Ur. God said, I'm not changing even though you've stopped in Haran. Your job is to go to Canaan. And when you get to Canaan, I'll talk to you again. See me in Canaan. Obedience is what is required. God calls us. He says, this is what I want you to do. It's up to us to obey. No new message. You don't find a new message. This wasn't a new word from the Lord. This wasn't a new calling. This was the word spoken in Ur. Yet Abram is now 75 years old by the time he leaves Haran. Terah was 130 when Abraham was born. He was approximately 200 when he moved to Haran. We would say that Abraham would have been there probably for about 5 years. 5 years they would have stayed in Haran. But the word of God never changed. God said, you go to Canaan. Terah dies. Abraham now leaves. But does he do what God says? He still ain't. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and all in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Once again, story doesn't change much. Genesis 12, verse 4. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years when he departed out of Haran. Abram took Sarah his wife, Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. Guess what happened? They got pretty rich in Haran. Life was all right in Haran. Things weren't bad in Haran. If the devil could have, he would have caused him to stay in Haran. Why? I let him be prosperous right here, so maybe he won't fulfill everything God is calling him to do. Look, the devil will make a compromise with us. He'll say, you know what? You can just, I'll let you get in church. And I'll let you serve God. But I just get comfortable. Just get relaxed. Just stay right here. Don't accomplish everything that God wants you to. I'll let you get real comfortable right there. Gripped me. Sorry. Think about that. They gathered stuff there in Haran. But then they finally travel the last 400 miles to get to Canaan. That is where God wanted them to be. Guess what? It's at this point when God speaks to Abraham. God does not speak to him that I could find from Ur to Canaan. But as soon as he steps foot in Canaan, he steps to the place God is calling him to be. God speaks. Chapter 12, verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. I want you to notice something, though. I want you to notice something. He still hadn't completely fulfilled everything God said. He was now where God wanted him. God wanted him in Canaan, but he hadn't done everything God wanted him to do. He was where God wanted him. It's amazing. This journey, it takes time. It takes effort. I don't want to paint a picture that says, you know, and just do whatever you want. No, I want you to notice Abraham was pursuing God. There was a pursuit in his life, but we can't get frustrated with the journey. We can't get frustrated. There are times and layers and things that get pulled off of us and taken from us as we're continually going towards God. I want you to watch this. Notice where the altar is built. Did you notice where this altar is built? The Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. The altar was built after God appeared to him. The altar was built after. I love him because he first loved me. See, God saw this pursuit. God saw this going towards him. And God said, I'm going to now appear unto him. And Abraham has this moment with God. And Abraham now says, let me build an altar, a memorial unto God. I'm going to mark this place. I'm going to say, you know what? This was a place that I got in touch with God. This was a place that something very special took place in my life. Every single one of us have places like this, markings in our life, where this is where I know God touched me. The altar happens after God appears, but he still, notice, he still hadn't done everything. He hadn't arrived yet. Has anyone arrived yet? I still haven't arrived yet. He hasn't arrived yet. But I'll tell you what, every step of the way, he's getting a little bit closer. Watch. Watch verse 10. Right after God appears, Lord, watch verse 10. Wait. Verse 10. Watch this. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Guess what Abraham did? He backslid. Abraham, who is the father of the faithful, gets to the promised land. Gets to the place God wanted him to be. Think about this. Just 3 verses ago, God appears to him. Think about that. God appears to him. And now 3 verses later, a famine comes in. And Abraham says, I've got to go to Egypt. Why? If you think if God could get you all the way to Canaan and put you into the place that he wants you to be, You think he can't keep you in a famine? We see this happen. We've seen it with, was it Ruth? The story of Ruth? What'd they do? There's a famine. Away they go. Always done. There's something going on. Something bad happens. I got to hightail it somewhere. I've got to find some place where I can get my sustenance. When God is saying, no, I've brought you this far. I'm just waiting. You just wait. I've got it for you. Absolutely. Absolutely. Famine, he walks away. Now watch this, to return back. Genesis 13:1. Watch, I think this is so cool. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had. And Lot went with him into the south. Guess who's still hanging around? There's Lot. Lot's still there. I want you to notice two things. When it comes time, when Abraham decides, I'm going back, I want you to notice two things. Genesis 13:4. Unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Abram went back to the place God had first spoke to him. He went back to that place, unto that altar that he built, and said, you know, I've got to get back to the place where I met God, where God spoke to me, where he talked to me, where he gave me the promise, where he said, this is the land, this is the promise you have. Right, he was right in that area. Oh yeah. Oh, God didn't make it comfortable for him. Right, they got him, that sent him out, yeah. You know, when I was reading this, the whole time I'm reading the story, the whole time I'm going through the story, you know what I'm looking at? I'm looking at Abraham's life, and I'm looking at my own life. Honestly. I'm looking at Abraham's life. And I'm looking how God called him out. God told him what to do. And he obeyed, but he obeyed to a point. And then he would do a little bit more, and then he would move a little bit more. And I look at my own life and over my own course of life, and I've seen times. I know where God's called me out of. I know what he's done. I've seen times I've moved and done things, and I haven't given totally everything. I haven't done everything he's wanted. And then there's times I've completely slipped back, right? Anyone ever, you know what I'm talking about? When you look at it, the reason God put this there, because it's a beautiful picture of us, of who we are. But we've got to get to the where I want to go. We won't get totally there because this story goes on for a long time, but I want to get to a point. Believe me, this story goes for a long time. And it's always this. It is. There's good. There's. Yeah. Yeah. Here it is. Let me get there. Verse 13, verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks, herds, and tents. He builds this altar, and the Bible says right after that, and Lot was still with him. That Lot just would not get away from him, right? Until finally, at the close of chapter 13, it is finally fulfilled. He has finally done what God called him to do. He said, I want you to leave your father, your mother, your family, your city, everything you know, and I want to take you to a land that I have given you. And finally, finally, at the close of chapter 13, that takes place. And it's here that God gives him the complete promise. Genesis 13, 14. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him. Notice that. After Lot was separated from him. Lift up thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise. He gets a new journey now. He gets a new job description now. Arise. Walk through the land in the length of it, in the breadth of it, for I will give it to you. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is Hebron, and there built an altar unto the Lord. It was here. Finally, God says, now I can give you a new assignment. First assignment was get out of there and get here. When you do what you're supposed to do, now I can give you a new assignment. I'm not going to give you anything new until. The reason we seem to wander and never seem, because we never complete the first assignment. And it's here that the writer of Hebrews is finally able to say, by faith, Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, he obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. What we see in Hebrews was the culmination of a life. Hebrews gives us just a few verses and gives us this pretty picture that Abraham obeyed God. Abraham followed God. Abraham served God. What we see through Genesis was that Abraham had his ups, Abraham had his downs. Abraham went left, Abraham went right. Abraham got stuck for a little while. Abraham made some mistakes, but all the while, Abraham kept moving and progressing and going closer to God until it was finally able to be said of him, this man Abraham, by faith, when he was called, he went into the Bible says, Abraham obeyed. I love that. How many are glad that the conclusion looks a whole lot better? What God does with me, it's not where I am right now. It's where I'm going to be when God's done with me. When God finishes with me. When he's done doing what he has to do, when he's done doing the things he has to do, right now we're still all on that wheel, that clay. We're being shaped, we're being molded, we're being made. The Bible says, and then when he looked into the potter, he saw that it was marred in the hand of the potter. And so what did he do? He made it again. How many are glad tonight that we have a long suffering God? I wanted to point that out. I wanted to show us that, because sometimes we can get frustrated in the journey. We can get frustrated sometimes by our own free will. Our own mistakes. And, you know, why am I not where, I know God wants me to be here. Why haven't I reached that yet? And I can get frustrated along the way. Just what I'm trying to tell somebody is let God continue to lead you. Abraham could have made a few choices to help his cause a little bit. He could have done a few things to possibly get things done in a little more timely manner, but Abraham's like us. If he wasn't, we'd all be in trouble. But in the end, I don't want to paint a picture, because this is not a story, and I've got to make sure I make this clear. I'm not trying to just say that it's okay to just, you know, whatever happens, happens, you know, you just do it. No. The object here and the point here was that Abraham, through this whole time, was pursuing God. You got to think where he started at, where Abraham started. He started from a place of total godlessness. And he was learning to trust in a God that he had only maybe heard some stories about. But in the end, you go from a man. We're going to see it. It's such a beautiful picture. We go from a man who goes from basically, I would just say, total godliness. I mean, when your father is an idol maker and you're living in a city like that and then all that, I would say that's pretty close to total godlessness. But when we get to the end of Abraham's life, we find something different, that God talked to Abraham face to face like a man would talk to his friend. Think about that. How did that happen? It was a journey. It was a constant pursuit of God. And I can just see him as God, as a moment would happen and God would talk to him and he would build an altar, and a moment would happen and he would build an altar and he would make these monuments and he would move towards God and he would move until finally we get to a point where Abraham and God are talking face to face. They're talking right there. I mean, Abraham had the audacity, and we'll get into it. I'm going to get into it. I'm done. But he had the audacity to, God, if there's 50, will you save the city? How about 45? God says, okay, how about 40? Okay, no. How about 35? I mean, he goes all the way down the list, and God eventually just says, you know what, there's a family, I'll just pull them out and be done with it. That's talking about a man who had a relationship with God. That's Abraham. But it doesn't start there. It starts way back. And what we see through the story of Genesis is the pursuit of a man towards God. And God doesn't hide the mistakes. He doesn't hide the faults. He lets us see a real man who made mistakes, who didn't do everything right, but in the end became a man who was close to God. And that's where our goal is. That's what hopefully we're going to get out of this as we get through this. Got it. Yeah, that's the truth. Yeah. And he moves on. Okay, now it's time. That's right. That's a good. Whew. Let's pray. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for what it shows us and what it teaches us. And God, we need you. Lord, we need your help. We need your guidance. And Lord, we want to follow after your way more than anything. Lord, we want to know where you want us to go. But God, I know, Lord, that you've spoken to us. You've told us where to go and what to do. And God, I pray, Lord, that we would do it and we'd follow your will. And God, that we'd accomplish what you're asking of us, Lord, so that you could lead us and guide us into even more, and you'd give us our next assignment. God, I'm asking, Lord, for each and every person here, Lord, that our desire would be to grow closer to you, to draw closer to you. And God, that every step of the way, every day of our life, Lord, is a journey. Lord, and every day, Lord, we move closer to you. God, every day, Lord, our lives become more like you until there comes a point in time, Jesus, where it can be said that by faith we followed you. God, that we were willing to give up everything. We're willing to do anything you ask, and we're willing to answer your call. God, I pray, Lord, for every single one of us, Lord, that our relationship with you could be so close to just like a friend. Because we know, Lord, that you are that friend that sticks closer than a brother. So God, help us all, Lord, to be that same, Lord, to you, and to reach to you with everything in our hearts. And draw us, Lord, closer. In Jesus' name, I ask, Lord, that you bless each one. Go with us and keep them safe. In Jesus' name, amen.